Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ada Marie Show. Ada Marie, the Golden Oracle, gives ways to stay connected with spirit through difficult times. And we are kind of having one of those difficult times right now. For some odd reason, the show was not scheduled, and I had to do it at the very last second. So here we are, and I'm not certain where Ada Marie is. She might have called in and not heard anything. Just hold on a second. I can see if I can connect with her. Hello, are you calling into the show? That's right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Hello. There you are. Okay. Are you, Adam? Hello.
Hello.
Hi, there we are. Yeah. Okay, so far, we have no callers. So, accidentally, the show started early, so
We
are technically on the air. So, I would like to introduce Ada Marie as the Golden Oracle, a born seer who was taught intuitive sight and herbal medicine from childhood by conscious mediums, her grandmothers. And she channels this ancient knowledge and wisdom in her work as healer, life coach, and spiritual counselor. So today we are moving toward we're really in the middle of the holidays between them, and in a time that it seems that people are overloaded with stress and don't really notice the subtle gifts of spirit. And I don't know if you notice this, but it seems like we all we notice when things are going wrong, and we don't notice when things are going right. And how is that? Do you notice that too? Ada Marie?
Yes, I do, and I notice that people are never really grateful when things are going right. it's, many of them act like they're waiting for them to fall apart. But the reality is things don't fall apart unless you decide to let them fall apart. So,
well, or sometimes we expect things because we were told that things were, things, life is bad and then you die. You know, how many of us hear that? And how few of us get the kind of training that you grew up with. I mean,
well, that's
you know.
True. That is true. And, you know, the thing is, in the city, there are so many distractions that it's very hard for young people to have, you know, have the ability to hang into the lesson, because on the farm, there's nothing to distract you. You're just sitting there, and that's the only thing that's happening. There's no radio, there's no electricity, there's none of those things to stop you from paying attention. And
well, maybe in the old-fashioned farms, but these farms today are all complicated machinery and.
Right.
That's trying
true.
To figure
and
out how to sell millions of to sell millions of barrels of things of or bushels or whatever. So
right.
And is it
today? A lot of the older people, like myself, who would be a grandparent, are given regular household things to do, so there isn't the time that they should be taking to teach kids a little bit of wisdom. And the church is about the only thing that they have to have any kind of insight with, and they don't teach them wisdom. They just teach them the parables in the Bible. So
yes, that is really true. And it doesn't seem that the Bible really teaches you how to deal with daily things. I mean, we've all heard about these wonderful miracles where something totally dramatic happened and it saved a person's life, and
right.
and a message came through. And but for every one of those, there may be maybe thousands and hundreds of thousands of little ways that
right.
Spirit reached out to us. And the things that we didn't even notice, and Spirit talking to us through our friends, through strangers, through a voice on the radio or the television or whatever. And how do we live in this daily life with everything pulling at us all the time, and still stay aware of the good things that we really are enjoying? How do we
well,
do that?
What is happening is people are overlooking the good things and they're only looking at the problems. They're not being grateful for the good things. They're overlooking them and they're looking for problems. So they say, well, you know, this can't last. Well, that's a very bad statement.
It
really
is. It is.
So if people really want to change how they think and change their life as they live it every day, they have to start thinking in a positive manner. What did I learn from this? If something
mm-hmm.
happened that was distasteful and they got through it, what did they learn from it? And if they just start using that one phrase, what did I learn from that? It would not take very many months until they would turn everything around, because the learning would change and it would be more positive and happy.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you understand what I'm saying here?
Something in the background that I'm hearing. Maybe it's a radio or something. I don't know.
No, I do know it. I will move. I'm in one room and they're in the other room. Let me go back here. I'm going away back
okay.
here. See if I can get out
okay,
of the noise.
Okay, good.
Is this better?
Okay, great. Much better, yes.
Okay.
So how do you begin to train yourself? Do you have a suggestion?
Yeah, because that's how that's how we were taught. We were taught to take 5 minutes when we were little. Now, when you're older, you could probably take 10 or 15. But we were taught to take 5 minutes and sit down with our hands in our lap, folded together, not wiggling them around, fold them together, close our eyes, and just pretend that there isn't a sound anywhere until you have erased all the sounds around you. And then you be silent. You're silent and your head is silent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see how long you can do that. In the beginning, you might only do it for 2 minutes. Some people can do it for three. But most anybody who starts to practice this has to start with 1 or 2 minutes and work their way up to five. Now, when they get to 5 minutes of silence in their head and all the commotion around them is out of their head also, then they are ready to be able to put into the energy pattern love and light and joy and happiness, abundance and success. All those things they can put into that space where there is no sound. As they put that into the space where there's no sound, they begin to see it start manifesting in their everyday life. One little girl in the third grade wanted to have 100 on her spelling test. So her mother told her to, you know, study the spelling and then sit by herself, all by herself. And as a word came into her head, well, she was sitting there silently. She should spell it out loud. And she did this. And after about 3.5 months, she could get 100 in spelling every time. Because when the teacher gave a word, she let the word be in her head, and then she could spell it.
I see. Okay.
Very interesting,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it just teaches you to be in control of your thought process. Because if you're in control of your thought process, you don't forget things, you remember them.
Yes.
How many of us struggle
yes,
with
indeed.
That? Yeah.
Yes. So when we have a nice thing that happens.
Right.
And we ignore it, what happens then?
Nothing. You just don't have the option of having many more nice things happen. Nice things become fewer and fewer because you're not honoring them. That's all. Nothing happens. Just quits happening that you get that wonderful rush of joy and blessing.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Hello?
No matter what it is, if it's joyous for somebody else and you've seen it, honor it, bless it. Thank the Lord for letting you see this wonderful experience and how heartfelt. You'll feel it in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
That's where it's at. It's in your heart.
Now, what about training yourself in noticing little things?
Well, that's something. It's like learning how to read. You have to just look around you and be aware of everything that's happening around you, and be aware that if something is not going well around you, that you can step out of the way and be out of it. And you can bless it as you step away from it. And the blessings you send will do more good than anything.
You bless something that is happening that you feel is not in harmony?
I feel it's not. A lot of people are not harmonious about it. They really aren't. They get upset. And if they're upset, they're not going to be blessing it. They're not going to be harmonious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Take, for instance, a little girl drops her plate at school, and she has to get down on the floor and pick it up. And she's scared because she dropped it, so she's upset. And the teacher is scolding her because she dropped it. That's a bad situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the teacher saying, oh, things like this happen, and we just have to clean it up and make it okay and put the dish away in the trash because it broke. You know, kind words make a big difference in an experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on who it is and how insightful they are to be able to help, especially young people. I mean, it's one thing to have to tell somebody who's 50 that they're making a mistake right here and stop it, but they can do it nicely, and the person can take real advantage of what happened and not have it happen again.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it just, it's an attitude. You want things to be peaceful, harmonious, and loving. That's the law. That is universal law for everything to go wonderful. You know, here we are fighting over something that, what's it about? It's just to get attention. You don't need that attention. Just get down and help the person pick up the pieces and say you're sorry it happened. Get up and walk away.
Okay. Now, what about when something goes right and you don't even say anything because of you just expect things to go right all the time? Do some people like that?
Well, you know, and I taught my kids to say, that was a miracle. Something goes right, you say, that's a miracle. Isn't that great? And then you'll get another one. You see? My little grandson, he came visiting and some pieces of cookies fell on the floor. And he goes, Grandma, that's a miracle. And I said, you know, you're right. You want to pick them up? Oh, yes. And he picked all three of them up, and out the door he went. They were his miracle.
What, did he feed them to the birds, maybe?
I think he ate them. I'm not sure
really?
What he did with them, but I think he ate them.
Okay.
So
that's funny.
That was funny because he didn't even wait for me. He said, oh, Grandma, that's a miracle. And down he went. Up he went with those three cookies and out the door.
So nobody else will eat them, but it's, they're all for me.
Yeah, right. And the floor was clean. It wasn't going to hurt him, you know. He didn't drop many dirt.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they say we should eat a pound of dirt before we die anyway.
Well, I'll tell you, little kids that grow up and they play in the dirt, and they get dirty and they get cruddy and they have to be scrubbed, like, badly, they're the healthiest kids on the block. They never get cold.
So
they never get sick. They never do anything. They're perfectly fine. A little kid who is constantly cleaned up, constantly, that kid is going to be sick all through their childhood.
Yeah, their body hasn't been exposed to the germs, so they.
No, it hasn't been exposed to build up a resistance. That's how the body builds up the resistance, is going through that, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't care what they say, that's the truth. And I'm no stranger to that kind of a thing. And yet, you don't let them get filthy, but you let them get dirty.
You do clean them up before nap time and before bedtime.
Yeah. So that they can lay down on the bed and not ruin the blankets.
Yeah, right. Now, for example, when I walk out and the breeze is very refreshing, I give thanks for it.
Right. Absolutely.
I give thanks for sunsets. I give thanks for flowers. I give thanks for people smiling. You know, I've learned
You know
that,
how
that
wonderful it is to see somebody smile? I mean,
I
it's
know.
Absolutely it's, wonderful, and I thank
it's
God.
It's really great, and I know
pleasanter.
When I smile sometimes, people will nod at me, or they will
mm-hmm.
smile back, or
right.
And then
right.
some people look away like they think I'm going to take something away from them or something.
Well,
which
or you're
is very
going to speak
strange.
To them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They do, but you know, I have to tell you, you see people who their face looks like a rain cloud, and
mm-hmm.
they don't have to worry about anybody talking to them or getting near them. Because they look just like a rain cloud. They look like they're going to
mm-hmm.
tear your head off if you even look like you're going to say hi.
Yeah.
So.
And you wonder, is that a defense? Are they doing that because they're afraid of strangers?
I think it becomes a habit.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a habit with them. Because some of them are very
mm-hmm.
nice people. They don't even really look in the mirror to see how awful they look when they frown.
Yeah, it's very, very
yeah.
odd. And it really is. But
once in a while,
I do
I'll
notice
say to some. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I do notice when I smile, it seems to brighten the atmosphere.
Right, it does. And what I notice a lot of times is when people are frowning, you know,
mm-hmm.
they don't even know they're frowning.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know it. They've done it for so
yeah.
long, it's automatic. But if
Amazing.
You say smile, they'll smile.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pass by somebody, especially a man, and he looks like he's going to chew somebody's head off. I say, smile. Smile. You're handsome when you smile.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. So,
yeah.
So now, if spirit comes and kind of whispers in our ear and we don't notice it, then you feel that spirit just kind of goes away and I offered and.
Now wait a minute. When spirit comes and offers you something?
You know, whispers in your ear, makes a suggestion, you know, offers a way out of or something.
Right.
And then you don't pay any attention to it. What happens then?
Well, you know, you go through the whole rigmarole of having to deal with it. But spirit will always try to avoid anything that's difficult. So it will
mm-hmm.
always, in your mind, it will always leave a message as to how to get around the other side of the tree.
Uh-huh. I see. Okay.
It always does. People just don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
They pay very little attention to the wonderful blessings that they receive from their own consciousness, from their own growing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, haven't you said something and then somebody will say, I thought of that once.
Yeah.
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 That happens.
Yeah, sure. So, as we work through our lives, how do we build a new habit of noticing and thankfulness to literally improve our lives?
Well, the only way you can change that habit of negativity is to be on guard. Okay, this is Ada, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ada has to be on guard all the time that there's a positive energy flowing from her smile, her energy, her voice, everything has to be peaceful, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Now there's Marie, which is a real hard name. But Marie isn't always friendly, and she doesn't always smile, and she doesn't always have a good energy pattern around her because she hasn't decided to build one, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's got to decide to build one. So when she got in touch with Ada, Ada's just automatically always going to smile to begin with, so she can't do anything else. And she has to be friendly.
Okay.
Now,
So what if you are around negative people all the time?
If you're around negative people all the time, smile at them. I went to work in an office one time, and there were four people there, and every one of them came in like a storm cloud. And the first day I worked there, I looked up at this lady, and I said, "Are you sick?" She said, "No." I said, "Are you mad?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, what's the matter with you?" She said, "Nothing." I said, "Look in the mirror. You look like you're going to chew my head off, and I don't like it." And she said, "That's a habit." I said, "Break it. Break that habit. Look in the mirror and smile at yourself until your face is sore, tired, and your jaws hurt from smiling. And you'll get over that terrible look." And before I left there, she was smiling all the time.
Really?
You
converted her, huh?
Well, every time I looked at her, I said, "What happened to the smile?"
No, I see.
I just pushed her and pushed her.
Uh-huh.
So one day she came in, and I looked up, and she had her finger pointing at her face. She said, "Is this good?" I said, "Yeah, it is." But she felt better, too. She felt better, too. So that was good.
Well, and each time we feel thankful for something, it changes. It changes the way we feel.
It changes the way you feel, and the thankfulness actually goes into the body as a healing unit.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfulness brings on healing. So if people really understood the use of thankfulness, they would be thankful for everything they saw. It's true. You know, people say, "You're never sick, Ada." I said, "I got no reason to be sick." Because I don't.
Yeah.
Because if there's a problem, I'll try to help fix it if I can, or send them to where they can get it fixed. And I'm not going to feel bad, and I'm not going to look bad. And if somebody says, "Well, I'm sorry I didn't come to your party," I said, "You missed the party. I didn't."
Yeah, right. Everybody that came had a great time.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they would laugh, you know. They wouldn't feel bad because I made it easy for them to get out of it.
Right.
But the next time they were there.
I see.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know,
we never played games at our parties. We visited. We talked.
Yeah.
So
I know what you mean.
I don't like to play games at parties. I find that it's okay for little kids, but for adults, they got plenty of wonderful information to share with each other, and that's what we do.
You know, sometimes music will change in energy and atmosphere. You know, and so many people. I have hundreds of records, and very rarely do I play any. Isn't that funny?
Well, if you find we have a radio station that just plays music, and it plays all different kinds of music, not just the pop music or what do they call that, highbrow music that plays.
Okay.
On and on and on. You hear it in your stores.
You mean the elevator music
in the background, and it really is a lift.
Well,
John Wayne was very, very ill. The doctors
brought
in Laurel and Hardy movies and made him watch them, and he laughed until he got well. So
that's a good thing.
It make anybody well if you laugh enough, because it makes every cell of your body react.
And laughing is a very wonderful remedy. I think it's a medicine in a way.
Yes.
You know, it's very special.
It is.
And it's also fun to make people laugh. And to you can feel the whole energy in the room changing.
It does change instantly. We have a friend that comes by, and just the fact that he comes through the door, everybody's laughing because he's so funny. He has a great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. So, do you thank him for the laugh? Thanks for the laugh.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
We were doing that on the radio here, on the phone. He was out there in the other room making faces at me.
I see. Okay.
I said, the people can't see the faces, honey. We're just laughing. So
yeah, right.
We went back and talked to Mark for a while. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. So when you train yourself, the tiniest little thing becomes something special that you can give thanks for, right?
Right, you can be thankful for. Now,
mm-hmm.
when you train yourself, the way you do it is you put yourself in the third person. Do you know how to do that? To put yourself in the third person.
Well, you know, sometimes when I have a big problem, I say, I've got to help out my friend Mary.
Right.
And
the ideas
come to me, you know.
Yeah. That's
because
what
I
you're
can
doing.
Do anything to help other people, and yet when it's my own problem, it's harder. So if I say I've got to help out my friend Mary, it really is.
Right,
mm-hmm.
it is, and people don't realize that. But Mary is your closest friend, and she's the one who really wants your attention if you're having to help her.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So remember that.
Instead of saying, poor me, I've got all of these horrible things to get done, I say, well, got to help my friend Mary and start
right.
working.
Right.
You know?
Right. I say, okay, I got to get over there and make Ada Marie get started. She's sloughing off here.
Yeah, so little things like that help you through, and I don't know of very many people who do that. When you said put yourself in the third person, I said,
right.
Well, I guess that's what I'm doing.
You are. See, most people don't know how to do that. They don't
mm-hmm.
know how to talk to themselves. And you can't do it if I don't say, Ada Marie, get in here, I want to talk to you, then I can't help her because she's not where she wants to be helped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. don't hesitate to call it. Call yourself up short and fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So the little things.
Tiny. Yeah.
The little things, yeah.
Right, right.
When you're afraid,
right.
what can you do to turn that around?
Yeah, well, when you're asking yourself in the third person, now what do I do? And
mm-hmm.
Where do I start? A great thing I always say if I look like I'm snowed about something, I can't figure out what I'm doing, I say, okay, now where do I start? And then
uh-huh.
I just wait a few minutes and see what I get.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I can unravel it pretty easy, about 3 or 4 minutes, and then just automatically I can start to undo the problem I created.
Yeah, I would. I had a friend once who in an office, sometimes things would get pretty hectic, and she would
yeah.
look around and say, well, aren't we having fun? And everybody would start giggling, you know.
Yeah.
And it was funny, the energy just switched over, and she would just say, well, aren't we having fun? You know,
all of a sudden it straightened itself up.
Yeah, people had a chance to look at things in a different way. And I think that's the biggest challenge we have, is really looking in a new, different way.
Right.
And we have names for things. We have names for things.
Yeah. He used to say, okay, now that didn't work. So what do you think he ought to be doing? And then you'd have to, you know, you'd have to figure out something different. What do you think he ought to be doing? And you other things would start to come into your head.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
But we have a tendency of going on and just doing things over and over the same way.
Yeah.
It's
not
odd.
Right, always.
It's true. Oh, we do have someone who has a question. Wait, do you feel like answering a question?
I'll do my best.
Okay. Hello?
Hi.
Hello? Hi.
Hello? Hi,
yeah.
Mary. Hi, Louie.
Yes?
I have a question. This is Candy from California. But you're talking about being, you know, smiling and friendly and stuff like that. And I'm friendly with everybody in my building except for this one man who is very, very hostile to me. And he's asked me for favors of, you know, found something of his and returned it to him. And I just keep trying to be a good neighbor, but he's very, very mean towards my dog and myself.
Well, he probably doesn't know he's rude. Believe it or not, a lot of men don't really understand. They don't hear themselves, so they don't really realize that they're being rude. Have you ever told him he was rude?
I try to speak to him. He says, it's the way that I'm accepting what he's saying. He says, it's my fault that I think he's rude.
Well, just tell him he sounds rude when he says it. Not that he's being that, he's sounding that way. And he may try to change. Because it could just be in the sound of what he says.
No, because he threatens my dog to kill her. He walks with a cane and flings the cane at us. He curses me. He calls me every name in the book. And I'm not affected by name calling. I don't care what people call me.
Right.
But it's become more and more lately, and now he's taking it up with the management.
Is he a neighbor?
Yeah. He lives
in the building.
I see.
But I think, you know, there's something not right mentally with him. And I try to be courteous to him, even though, you know. But it's becoming frightening. I reported it to my senior lead officer of the neighborhood. You know, I documented it with him, and I told the police, and they said they can't do anything unless he does something, physically does something to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel, what more can I do?
Now listen. Wrap yourself and your people in the building in white light, the Christ white light, and then wrap him in the Christ white light and surround him in violet, so the violet flame will enter into him and change his energy pattern. But you first have to use the white light.
First the white light, and then for him, a violet light.
And then the violet light, and send the violet light into him to change his energy pattern.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm going to work on that. Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
What about saying, asking him if is he afraid of your dog? And that is an interesting question.
Yeah, but he's always been mean towards her, yelling at her, cursing
that's
her.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe he yells at her because he's afraid of her.
Yeah, but I've always kept her on a short leash. I stand in front of her. I never let her go near him. She's never worried
for
him.
That's not what I'm saying. If you ask him if he's afraid of her,
I can't even talk
because
to him.
I
can't even speak to him. He just yells and screams at me and curses me. I can't even have a conversation with him. You know, and I always keep my dog away from him. I see him coming. I walk on the other side of the block. I walk up, you know, to the corner of the house. I try.
I have a feeling
him.
That he's actually afraid of dogs.
Yeah, I'm sure
that might be what's wrong.
Actually, what's wrong with him. He's afraid of dogs that aren't muzzled.
All right. I try to take that into consideration, but. And I try to show him the respect. I do show him respect. Not that I try to. I do show him respect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm courteous to him. And he's just, he's in a rant most of the time with me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Yeah.
Okay, but I'll take that
maybe you could say, you don't have to be afraid of my dog or me.
Yeah,
and
but
just
that
walk
don't
away.
Help people.
Tried that
no.
already. He just cursed me. He just swings his cane and screams and curses at me.
Uh-huh. Well,
I will do the light. I will focus on the light. And
good.
White light to all my neighbors and then violet light to him.
Good, okay. Because he does it to other people too?
He rants to a lot of people. Yeah, he'll walk down the street and start yelling at somebody.
Uh-huh.
You know, or if somebody talks,
he may be slightly, you know, imbalanced. I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I really believe that, but it's a very uncomfortable feeling. So.
Yes, it is.
I'm sure it is.
And I don't, say, I never answer him back. I never provoke him, you know?
No.
And just, he just doesn't want to, you know, stop. He just doesn't want to stop. And bringing it to the management, you know, has me really upset.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They actually told me if I don't like it the way, you know, they told him, do whatever you have to do to protect yourself. And I said, when he told me I have permission to beat your dog, you know, there's nobody that could give permission to beat an animal. The dog is on a leash.
Wait a second. Why are they telling him to do anything? Aren't they? Are they telling you to do anything that you can do to help to protect yourself? Who's going to just say, who's going to protect me against him and my dog against him? We didn't do anything to him. He's doing things to us. You've got it backwards.
On Monday. I have a meeting with management on Monday.
That's where the police need to come in, I think.
Yeah.
There's a question of who's the bad guy and who's the good guy here, and that's one of the things you need to work with.
Yeah. All right.
See,
well,
he's doing all the complaining, so they're thinking maybe your dog is doing something to him. But when you go in and you say, "Look, I always am very careful, very respectful, and I keep my dog away from him," and but he's the antagonist here. He's the one that's causing the problem, not me, not my dog. You know. So.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Ada Marie?
Pardon?
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that the management understands.
Right.
Because he's evidently telling them that the dog is threatening him. So he's telling them.
I don't think the dog has threatened anybody.
Of course not.
No. And everybody in the building loves her. She, you know, they pet her. They run over to her to say hi to her. You know,
yeah.
I mean, she's loved. And that's why I have to bring across, because it's a new manager taking over. So he got in on the first floor to speak about my poor dog. And You know, she's such a good girl. It's just that she's a big girl, and I could understand that he's intimidated by her. And, you know, he can be fearful of animals. But, you know, I always have her under control, and he's just provoking. He's provoking a problem. So I'm going to focus on the white light and the violet light, and then I will deal with the management on Monday. And speak
yeah,
and, you know,
and don't be defensive. Just say, I just want you to know that I've been very respectful to him, and I do my best to avoid him at all possibility.
Yeah.
And my dog has never threatened anybody. You know,
right.
So he's probably afraid of all dogs and takes it. You know.
Of course he is. He's afraid of every dog, just like some people are afraid of cats.
Okay, well, thank you, ladies, very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye. So when we're coming from love, I mean, this is an interesting thing. We're coming from love,
right.
And this makes a huge difference. And what we're doing, if we constantly focus on the good, doesn't it somehow affect other people?
Of course it affects other people. The more good you concentrate on, the more cheerful people are going to become.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Are we running out of time?
Close to it. I'm just wondering if there's any other questions of other people on the line. Maybe they're just listening and enjoying it. I don't know, but the most important thing I believe.
I want to give my name and phone number so people can call in if they have something.
Absolutely,
and,
that there is always help for you.
Right, and I'm in Arizona, so it's kind of an odd state, but my number is 520-896-9510, Ada, A-D-A, Marie. Marie, and my computer,
internet,
is, the Golden Oracle.
Your website.
Yeah, my website, is thegoldenoracle.com. The
you know,
when we're
channeling, a lot of times we lose words because
right. Right.
So I would like to
leave a message on there, and I will call you back if you leave a number.
Okay, and I'd also like to mention your healing retreat.
Yes,
Ada Marie offers, you know, the one-on-one health spas.
Right.
And there are just miracles happening. So you want to talk a little bit about that, Ada Marie?
Well, we had a very, very good experience yesterday. We had people here that were here for 2 days. They would normally stay for three. Today was the third day. But the lady got up and walked out on the porch this morning and waved and hollered across the yard, "Good morning, look at me, I'm walking by myself." And that was a wonderful feeling, and I certainly was excited about that. So when she left this afternoon, she was here 3 days only, and she got out of that wheelchair, and she was walking.
How wonderful.
It was wonderful. It was awesome. And I told her, I said, "Now when you go to sleep, you pray, and you tell the Father that you are walking. You know you can walk perfectly. And you will do it. And then you look in the mirror and tap your temples and say, 'I am in perfect health.'" And you do that morning and night. Today was actually the beginning of the fourth day, but she had done it from the time she came until she left this morning, and she was walking beautifully. I was very happy.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. So
the miracle
happened
when...
Yeah. But I want people to know that if you set your mind to perfect health and a good job or whatever it is you set your mind to, it will come to pass. So make sure that it is something constructive and positive and something you can really, really enjoy. So when you set your mind to do something and you hold it there, be sure it is positive, everything about it. Don't put one negative word in there. And as we close today, I want you to know that I have seen several miracles in the last week, and basically because it was a full moon coming up, and the people were impressed, absolutely blessed with the use of the full moon by tapping their temples and asking and commanding their body to perfect itself. It's been a wonderful experience. So try it. You got nothing to lose, and it certainly isn't expensive.
That's for sure. And
yeah.
and we can say we practice. Begin
right.
to notice things. Begin to notice flowers. Begin to notice the sunshine. Begin to notice the smell of the air.
And be
thankful
right.
for it.
Be very
and
thankful.
And when you're doing that, you are changing the world. And you
and
even
you
if you don't really know it.
Into a positive energy.
Right.
And I think are we out of time?
I do believe we're at more at the end. We've got one more chance for people to ask questions.
Yes, and my number is 520-896-9510, and you can call between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m., and I'll be very happy to help you. So have
that's
a wonderful...
That's mountain time, right?
Pardon?
7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time?
No, it's, well, maybe it is. I'm in Arizona.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the summer it's Pacific Time, and in the winter it's the fall and winter it's Mountain Time. It's two hours earlier than New York time, for example, and an hour later than Pacific time.
Okay.
So, but
that's good.
Okay. So that people know they won't call you 5 in the morning. So.
Well, some of them do call at 5 in the morning, and I'm up and working at that time. And some of them do
okay.
that, but not many. So they're not up that early. Anyway.
Okay.
But you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, okay?
Definitely. Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Love and light. Bye, everybody.